that you're going to be so very blessed by what you hear and what you feel. There are no prayer requests this morning on our online app. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture will be rendered by Brother Eric. We have a wow declaration this morning. E.K. Dawson is the first prayer warrior on the wall, followed by Brother Tim. That order repeated. Scripture will be rendered by Brother Eric. Our declaration is a wow declaration this morning. E.K. Dawson is the first prayer warrior, followed by and closing is Brother Tim. Please, ma'am, please, sir, please mute your phone by using the standard mute feature. And prepare yourself for the presence of the Lord. I now pass the call.
Before the scripture is read, Andrew, I just want to give the five reasons why we mute the line.
Reason number five, your allergies are absolutely worse in the morning. Reason number four, your car is kind of loud. Reason number three, you smack when you're eating your breakfast and we can hear you. Reason number two, sometimes you randomly yell out stuff and we kind of think you have Tourette's syndrome. And reason number one, why you should mute your phone this morning, you sound like Darth Vader when you just wake up and it's scary. So with all that being said, take another minute to make sure that your phone is on mute, and we will absolutely get into the business of the day.
You can go ahead and read the scripture now. If you're reading, we can't hear you. And if not, can someone grab a scripture, please, prior to the declaration?
Hello, this is OFAM. This is Brother Eric. Scripture today will be read, John 5. Verses 25 and 26. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given himself, given to the Son to have life in himself. May the Lord add blessing to the reading, hearing and the doing of his word. I now pass the call.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. I thank Bubbly for greeting us, Pretty Patrice for our announcer, and Sister Valuable Val for that awesome scripture. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. 18 and 19. I want to read it just for your hearing. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Last week, I dealt with seeing invisible things. Today, if I was able to tag this with a topic, I want to talk about seeing with the eyes of your heart. Let me start off. I was blessed to be introduced to a remarkable woman by the name of Helen Keller, who was, before she was 2 years old, was stricken with a crippling brain fever that left her blind, deaf, and mute. For about 5 years, she was, I guess you would say, an unruly child, kicking, scratching, and letting out the silent screams of a deaf mute. And I believe it was at the recommendation of Dr. Alexander Graham Bell. Her father took her to see a specialist, a woman by the name of Annie Sullivan, who had become her teacher and her mentor. And after an extended period of time, Annie Sullivan was able to break through the mask of infirmities by writing in Keller's hand. And immediately upon the breakthrough, they sent for that gifted preacher by the name of Philip Brooks, who was the pastor of the Great Trinity Church in Boston, Massachusetts. They wanted Dr. Brooks to share with Keller that age-old story of how God's laughter had spilled over the balcony of heaven to flood a spiritually parched world. And Dr. Brooks sat down in a chair beside Helen Keller and began to write the age-old story of what God had done for man through Jesus Christ. And when he was about halfway through with the story, with a burst of emotion, Helen Keller paused and wrote back in Philip's hand, "I know him." And someone in the room asked her, "How does she know him?" And she wrote back in Philip's hand and said, "I met him in my heart. I just didn't know his name." The life of Helen Keller raises for us a provocative question. That question is, how do we know what we know? Education, philosophy, and science have collaborated, and collectively they have offered their conclusion. They say that there are three learning modalities. A modality is just a method of learning. They say the first modality is called empiricism. The second modality is called rationalism, and the third modality is called existentialism. The empiricists say that we learn some things by the perception and observation of our five senses. The rationalists say that we learn some things through our cognitive and mental capacities. And the existentialists say that we learn things by experiencing through our individual existence. They say that there are three learning modalities. But as I'm reading this text today, Paul seems to suggest that there's a fourth learning modality, and I believe that he calls it seeing with the eyes of the heart. This modality is the result of the illuminate eyes of the Spirit that allows us to see those things that are supernatural, spiritual, and eternal. And that's what Paul is talking about over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, where he says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." And what Paul is saying is that the people of faith live by seeing invisible things. If you want to measure the depth and the authenticity of your faith and your spirituality, answer this question: do visible or invisible things dominate your life? I believe it's divided right along that line, the seen and the unseen, the visible and the invisible. Which one dominates your life? And so I've come today in this declaration not to talk from the perspective of the empiricist, nor the rationalist, nor the existentialist, although there's some legitimacy in all of those learning methods. I'm literally here as a preacher today because it makes it incumbent upon me to talk about this fourth learning modality, which is to help you understand that there are things that are invisible and eternal that you will never see unless you see them through the eyes of your heart. That's what he says in verse 1. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened." Now, he makes several points in those verses, and first of all, notice what he says in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation and the knowledge of him. What he's saying in that verse is only with the eyes of the heart can you perceive spiritual knowledge. Story's told about a man in China who raised horses, and one day his prized stallion ran away, and his friends came over to his house to mourn his great loss. But the man said, "How do I know whether what happened was good or bad?" A few days, the stallion returned with a herd of other stallions, and his friends came over in order to celebrate his good fortune. But the man said, "How do I know whether this was good or bad?" That very afternoon, that same stallion kicked the man's son and broke his leg, and the people came over to express their sorrow over the incident. But the man said, "How do I know that this is good or bad? Well, 3 days later, war broke out, and the man's son was exempted from military service because he had a broke leg. You guessed it. Your friends came over. Well, let's stop the story right there and say the point of the story is with our human limitations, it is impossible to know with certainty how best to interpret.
Good morning, guys.
Goodbye.
Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Last week, I dealt with seeing invisible things. Today, if I was able to tag this with a topic, I want to talk about seeing with the eyes of your heart. Let me start off. I was blessed to be introduced to a remarkable woman by the name of Helen Keller, who was, before she was 2 years old, was stricken with a crippling brain fever that left her blind, deaf, and mute. For about 5 years, she was, I guess you would say, an unruly child, kicking, scratching, and letting out the silent screams of a deaf mute. And I believe it was at the recommendation of Dr. Alexander Graham Bell, her father took her to see a specialist, a woman by the name of Annie Sullivan, who had become her teacher and her mentor. And after an extended period of time, Annie Sullivan was able to break through the mask of infirmities by writing in Keller's hand. And immediately upon the breakthrough, they sent for that gifted preacher by the name of Philip Brooks, who was the pastor of the Great Trinity Church in Boston, Massachusetts. They wanted Dr. Brooks to share with Keller that age-old story of how God's laughter had spilled over the balcony of heaven to flood a spiritually parched world. And Dr. Brooks sat down in a chair beside Helen Keller and began to write the age-old story of what God had done for man through Jesus Christ. And when he was about halfway through with the story, with a burst of emotion, Helen Keller paused and wrote back in Philip's hand, "I know him." And someone in the room asked her, "How does she know him?" And she wrote back in Philip's hand and said, "I met him in my heart. I just didn't know his name." The life of Helen Keller raises for us a provocative question. That question is, how do we know what we know? Education, philosophy, and science have collaborated, and collectively they have offered their conclusion. They say that there are three learning modalities. A modality is just a method of learning. They say the first modality is called empiricism. The second modality is called rationalism, and the third modality is called existentialism. The empiricists say that we learn some things by the perception and observation of our five senses. The rationalists say that we learn some things through our cognitive and mental capacities. And the existentialists say that we learn things by experiencing through our individual existence. They say that there are three learning modalities. But as I'm reading this text today, Paul seems to suggest that there's a fourth learning modality, and I believe that he calls it seeing with the eyes of the heart. This modality is the result of the illuminate eyes of the Spirit that allows us to see those things that are supernatural, spiritual, and eternal. And that's what Paul is talking about over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, where he says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." And what Paul is saying is that the people of faith live by seeing invisible things. If you want to measure the depth and the authenticity of your faith and your spirituality, answer this question: do visible or invisible things dominate your life? I believe it's divided right along that line, the seen and the unseen, the visible and the invisible. Which one dominates your life? And so I've come today in this declaration not to talk from the perspective of the empiricist, nor the rationalist, nor the existentialist, although there's some legitimacy in all of those learning methods. I'm literally here as a preacher today because it makes it incumbent upon me to talk about this fourth learning modality, which is to help you understand that there are things that are invisible and eternal that you will never see unless you see them through the eyes of your heart. That's what he says in verse 1. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened." Now, he makes several points in those verses, and first of all, notice what he says in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation and the knowledge of him. What he's saying in that verse is only with the eyes of the heart can you perceive spiritual knowledge. Stories told about a man in China who raised horses, and one day his prized stallion ran away, and his friends came over to his house to mourn his great loss. But the man said, "How do I know whether what happened was good or bad?" A few days, the stallion returned with a herd of other stallions, and his friends came over in order to celebrate his good fortune. But the man said, "How do I know whether this was good or bad?" That very afternoon, that same stallion kicked the man's son and broke his leg, and the people came over to express their sorrow over the incident. But the man said, "How do I know that this is good or bad?" Well, 3 days later, war broke out, and the man's son was exempted from military service because he had a broke leg. You guessed it. Your friends came over. Well, let's stop the story right there and say the point of the story is with our human limitations, it is impossible to know with certainty how best to interpret the experiences of life, because we never know in our humanness, because we're too limited and myopic in our humanity to be able to discern what experience is good and bad. But I just came by to share this morning with some good news, and the good news is those of us who have been born again, there is accessible to those who are spirit-indwelt and spirit-filled a learning modality that you can't get out of school and you can't get out of seminary. It's called seeing with the eyes of your heart, because we're not left to our faulty faculty. We're not left to how we feel about something. God in his infinite wisdom has placed in the heart of every child of God a spirit of discernment that helps us to navigate our way through this terrain of life. And that's what Paul is praying for here. He's praying that God would give his people three gracious gifts, and they're all in this verse. He says that I'm praying that you would have a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, and a spirit of knowledge. Now, let me unpack that for you. First of all, Paul said that he was praying that the people would have a spirit of wisdom. Now, what is that? The spirit of wisdom is the result of a transforming operation performed by the Holy Spirit upon the human heart that creates a new capacity for spiritual perception. In other words, when the Holy Ghost circumcises the heart, then the Holy Ghost allows, he makes available to the believer a deeper spirit of discernment so that we're able to see the true nature of things and people. You see, it's not enough to get knowledge, especially worldly knowledge. Knowledge without wisdom is a menace to society. You don't have to take my word for it. All you have to do is look at the situation on Wall Street. Everybody on Wall Street, they have knowledge, but many lack wisdom. And too many people in the world have head knowledge, but they have no spiritual wisdom. They live by this modern situational and contextual ethics. You see, wisdom coordinates knowledge. Wisdom manages knowledge. So watch this. So you can have a PhD, but if you don't have some G-O-D, you're just a smart devil. I'll say that again. You can have a PhD, but if you don't have some G-O-D, you're just a smart devil. Life at its best is a combination of a trained mind and a consecrated heart. So Paul here prays for spiritual wisdom. He tells us you have to have the eyes of the heart to have spiritual knowledge, because he tells us over in 2 Corinthians 4:18, he tells us that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so when I hear people say, "Preacher, I can't see it like that," they're telling the truth. They can't see it because they have the cataracts of carnality keeping them from seeing with the eyes of the heart. They have a sin solution that has dilated the pupils of their spiritual eye. They have their corneas have been ripped out by worldliness. In order to see spiritual things, you have to have the eyes of the heart. So not only does he pray for wisdom, but notice the next part of that verse, he prays for revelation. Now, I need to slow down here when he prays for revelation, because understand the word revelation. The word revelation, or the book of Revelation, comes from the word apocalypsis. It is the word from where we get our word apocalypse. It's a compound word made up of two words. The latter part of the word is calypto, and it means to hide. It means to cover. It means to conceal. It means to tuck away. Apo, the prefix of the word, means to remove. So the word revelation, apocalypsis, means to remove the covering. And so that's the first line in the first chapter in the book of Revelation. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. What he's saying is the covering of Christ has been removed, and now it talks about the unveiling and the uncovering of Jesus Christ. So Paul here prays that God would uncover divine truth so that the people of God might see Jesus for who he is. He said, "I want you to see him for who he is." Now listen. Man would never have imagined that the Father of Jesus was like he is had not Jesus revealed God to man. Philip says, "How are we going to get to know the Father?" Jesus says, "Philip, you've been hanging around me too long to be asking questions like that." Jesus says, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He said, "I and the Father are one." He said, I'm the visible image of the invisible God." So if you want to know what God is like, look at me. And so Paul prays that God would reveal Christ and divine truth to believers. Now, if I had time, I'd take that a step further, because we who are alive today, we need to understand that the Jesus of Revelation is different from the Jesus of the Gospels. Because the Jesus of the Gospels is the Jesus of humiliation, but the Jesus of Revelation is the Jesus of glorification. I wish I really had time to work on that. Because the first time he came as a carpenter from Nazareth. But when he comes again, he's going to come as a conqueror of all nations. The first time he came as a bearer of human guilt. But the next time he comes, he's going to come in glory and power. The first time he came riding on a donkey. But the next time he comes, he's going to come riding on a cloud. The first time he came, they didn't know who he was. But the next time he comes, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So Paul prays for revelation. But not only does he pray for wisdom and revelation, but in that same verse, he also prays for knowledge. Now, this is not secular knowledge that he's praying for. He's praying for spiritual knowledge, that he would have the eyes of the heart to be able to perceive and detect spiritual knowledge. And I can't say too much about this word knowledge here because I'm going to talk about it in a couple weeks. So let me just say to you that this word knowledge has an Old Testament heritage. It's the Hebrew word called yada, and it goes back to describe the intimate sexual relationship that Adam had with his wife Eve. And when they came together to procreate, they gave birth as a fruit of their loins to children. And the spiritual parallel is that you ought to know Christ in such a deep, full, intimate, significant way that there ought to be fruit that comes from the relationship from you and Christ, and it's called the fruit of the Spirit. So he prays that the Lord would give him knowledge that we could know Christ. Secondly, only the eyes of the heart can perceive spiritual experiences. Now, down in verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What
Uh-oh. Sorry, guys, I cut it too soon. I'm going to go ahead and have the first prayer warrior completed. My apologies, I didn't realize that happened. I think it was EK.
Excuse me. Father God, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you power, Lord God. God, I thank you. I thank you even for my brother, my friend, Pastor Lavelle, and the direction that he was going into. We thank you, Lord God, for his declaration, Lord God, and pray that we get the completion of that good word that has already started in our hearts and in our minds, oh God. Now bless him, Father, and bless him and his wife and his family and his church, and bless him indeed, Lord God. God, we thank you for just another day's journey, Lord God. God, we thank you for getting up and knowing our names. And most of all, we thank you for getting up and knowing you and knowing who you are, knowing who you are in our lives, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you are real, that you are real to us, Lord God. You are no myth, you are no legend, but that you are a living, moving, breathing, live organism and a spirit in our life, Lord God. And I thank you, God, for being who you are and all of your glory and all your deity, God. I thank you, God. God, I thank you, Lord God, that as we move around this morning with our house and our houses and our apartments and our places of residence, oh God, we thank you that we have a roof over our head, oh God, and we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that it wasn't raining on the inside, Lord God. We thank you for warm places to sleep, oh God, and thank you for electric blankets and covers and heat, Lord God. We thank you for all that stuff, God. We thank you because you provided for us. Your hand provided for us, oh God, and we thank you, God. God, I come praying now for the spirit that is on this call, Lord God. God, I thank you that it is a sweet spirit, Lord God. I thank you for koinonia. I thank you for the fellowship. I thank you for the camaraderie that we can come together as intercessors and pray, Lord God, and lift up your name and lift up concerns for others, Lord God, that we would be concerned about the move of God, Lord God, and the move of you, oh Father, in you and of you in our lives, in the life of the believer, oh God. So we thank you, God. God, I speak now to encourage any brother that is on this line, Lord God, that may be listening, Lord God, or to leave a deposit in the atmosphere, Lord God, for any man, Lord God, that he can keep going, that he can keep walking in boldness, he can keep walking in you, Lord God, that he can keep walking in his salvation, Lord God, to encourage every man, Lord God, that he would take his rightful place as a leader, as a man, as a mentor, Lord God, that he would continue to walk worthy of our calling that you called us to do, Lord God, and that's to lead and that's to be a saved brother, a saved individual, a saved man, Lord God, to learn more about your word, God, to give us godly attributes, Lord God, that we would see with your eyes, we would hear with your ears, we would listen, God, with the intensity that you've given us, Lord God. God, we pray now that you would continue to bless us and bless every man indeed, Lord God. God, that we would live not double lives, Lord God, but one life walking for you, talking for you, representing you, being your ambassador, oh God, and that not only that, but we can do it and we will do it, Lord God, and I thank you. I thank you for the family of Pastor John H. Green and the St. Luke Church, praying for them, Lord God, each and every one of them, praying for the families of the Beth Eden Church and his wife, First Lady Rosa James, Lord God, praying for them and their loss, oh God. Earth has no sorrow that heaven that you can't heal, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, that we submit to you and that allow you to heal even through death, oh God. We thank you now, Lord God. Every prayer request that was mentioned on this call, Lord God, we ask that you would hear our faintest cry, honor, hear our heart's cry, Lord. Honor it, oh God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you again for the declaration for those that came before me, Brother Eric, with the scripture, Brother Andrew with our hosting, Lord God, and the brother that would come and praying behind us, Lord God. Come praying for some young people, some young men, Lord God. You attached some young men to around my neck, Lord God, and some young people, oh God. And God, we thank you. Praying for some of the families, Lord God. A young man, Marquise, lost his life doing a home invasion, Lord God, just the other day. Lord God, one of our former students, bless his family, Lord God, as they deal with and reckon with, Lord God. God, continue to let us plant positive seeds in these young people's lives as we mentor them, as we deal with them, Lord God, in love, Lord God, and show them the way, model the way, Lord God, and that we would not let a young person walk by that we don't try to put our hands and our influence or a good word or a positive word and help shape them along with their parents, along with their church family, along with this village, Lord God, that we will continue to bless these young men, Lord God, that are walking the streets, red, yellow, black, and white, Lord God, Samoan, Hispanic, whatever, Lord God. Bless our young men, Lord God. Bless them and keep them, Lord God. Teach them through us, because sometimes our lives are the only Bible that they read or see, Lord God, how to carry and conduct themselves as young men, their mouths, Lord God, the level of respect that we have for one another, the level of love, what we were talking about earlier, Lord God, the level of love and how we love on each other and treat each other, Lord God, and let it trickle down to our young men, Lord God, that they would understand, Lord God. And God, this is your servant's prayer as I pass the call in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your spirit, Lord God. For we know, Lord God, that it's not by power or might, Lord God, but it is by your spirit, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God, for quickening us, Lord God, for touching our spirit, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God, February 3rd, Lord God. Hallelujah. Men's Day this Friday, Lord God, 2017, Lord God, that our hearts and our mind is focused and stayed on you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, we have so much to be grateful for, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the physical health in our physical bodies, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that in our bodies, Lord God, that there's no pain today, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing me, Lord God, to get over the symptoms and the ailments that I've been dealing with the past few days, Lord God. So, Lord God, I say thank you, Lord God, that right now at this moment, my body is free of pain, Lord God. Oh, so much to be grateful for, Lord God. We continue, Lord God, to lift up, declare victory, Lord God, in every member, every visitor, Lord God, every soul, Lord God, that is connected, Lord God, to this prayer line. Lord God, I lift them up to you, Lord God, along with their household and family, Lord God. I pray that you continue to cover us today, Lord God. Lord God, I say thank you, Lord God, for the declaration this morning, Lord God. Speaking about the heart, Lord God, in the eyes of the heart, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to see, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. By faith, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Without faith, Lord God, it is impossible to please you, Lord God. So, Lord God, I say thank you, Lord God, for that declaration this morning, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We know, Lord God, that wisdom, Lord God, knowledge, Lord God, spiritual knowledge, Lord God, that's applied, Lord God, creates power in our lives today, Lord God. So, Lord God, today we say thank you, Lord God, for the power, Lord God, to live our lives, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God, for the power, Lord God, that allows us to present ourselves, Lord God, as living sacrifices, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. for the heart and the mind, the power, Lord God, to cry out to you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We have so much to be grateful for, Lord God. Lord God, I want to lift up the children to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I pray your protection and your covering, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, I'm at a high school. Lord Jesus, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, Lord God, I lift them up to you this morning, Lord God. Cover them, Lord God. They have so many challenges in life today. They have so many distractions, Lord God. So much coming at them, Lord God, through the media, Lord God, the internet, Lord God, the social media, Lord God. Cover our children today, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to pray for them, Lord God, to speak over them, and to declare, Lord God, to speak in them, Lord God. Lord, I can see it. I can see where that our children need us to pray for them, Lord God. Lord God, I want to pray for every staff member, Lord God, on the site, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we got things to deal with, Lord God, as staff members, Lord God, to speak into our children, Lord. Hallelujah. Last year, Lord God, I was at an elementary, Lord God, but this year I'm at a senior high, Lord God, and these children need prayer, Lord God. Cover our children today, Lord God. Cover our site administrators, Lord God. Cover our counselors, Lord God. Cover our teachers, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Let us not grow weary, Lord God. Help us not to faint, Lord God. Help us to continue, Lord God, to love on our children, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. We have so much to be grateful for. Lord God, I even thank you, Lord God, for the rain today, Lord God, here on the West Coast, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for answering our prayers, Lord God, when we was praying, when we was in a drought, Lord God. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God, that the snowpack, Lord God, is 170%, Lord God. So, Lord God, when the snowpack rain melt, Lord God, oh, Lord God, we'll have fresh water, Lord God, to water the earth, Lord God, fresh drinking water, Lord God, water, Lord God, to water the crops, Lord God. So, Lord God, I say thank you, Lord God, for the rain today, Lord God. We have so much to be grateful for, Lord God. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, most of all, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for your holy word, Lord God. It is your holy word, Lord God, that we will stand on, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, no matter what it looks like, Lord God, here in the United States of America, Lord God. Oh, yes, Lord, we pray against the violence, Lord God. We will stand on your holy word, Lord God. So thank you, Lord God. So it may look like that everything is going astray, Lord God. But, Lord God, we know that you are in control. So thank you, Lord God, for uniting us, Lord God, here in the United States of America, Lord God, no matter what it looks like, Lord God. I pray your protection, Lord God, and your covering, Lord God, over this nation, Lord God. So much to be grateful for, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for covering our marriages today, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, every marriage, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for being that third strand, Lord God, that binds us and holds us together, Lord God. Help us to, oh, Jesus, to be of service to one another, Lord God, in our marriages, Lord God. Lord God, continue to lift up our finances to you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Cover our finances today, Lord God. Help me, Lord God. Hallelujah. To be obedient, Lord God. Help me, Lord God, to place my trust in you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And not be afraid, Lord God, to give you the whole, hallelujah, 10%, Lord God. However much it may be, along with the overtime, Lord God. Lord God, I declare and I decree, Lord God, that I will pay my tithes on time, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this year, 2017, Lord God. moving forward, Lord God, trusting in you, Lord God, with my finances, Lord God. Lord God, they say that we know where our heart is when it comes to our paper, Lord God. When it comes to our finances, our money, Lord God. If I could trust you, Lord God, with my money, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm winning today, Lord God. So, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for the victory, Lord God, that we have today, Lord God, in every area of our lives today, Lord God. Lord God, I want to ask everyone on the prayer line, Lord, to join me, Lord God, in collective praise, Lord God, to take their phones off of mute, Lord God, and give thanks unto you, Lord God, for all of the blessings that you have bestowed on each of us, Lord God, individually in our lives, Lord God. We can all take our phones off mute, Lord God, and praise you together.
Hallelujah.
Lift up the name of our Lord Jesus.
Oh, bless your name, God.
Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God, for my household, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for my beautiful wife, Lord God. Truly Patrice, Lord
God.
Thank you, Lord God, for covering my children, Lord God.
Thank
you, Lord God, for the health and strength in their bodies, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God,
that
all of my grandchildren, Lord God, was born with 10 toes and 10 fingers, Lord God. Healthy, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We have so much to be grateful for, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, that
Jesus.
No hurt, harm, or danger comes
nigh to us. Hallelujah, Lord God.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
We lift up the name of Jesus this morning, Lord God.
You deserve the glory.
Thank you, Lord God, for that declaration this morning, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
The spirit of the heart, Lord God.
The eyes of the heart, Lord God.
Giving
us vision to see, Lord God.
Hallelujah. Operating room. Praying for families that are in grief, Lord God.
Sister Wanda.
Yes, Lord. Lord God, I lift up the name of Brother David to you this morning, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah.
I declare and I declare
him today, Lord God. Strengthen him today, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. One day at a time, Lord God. Encourage him, Lord God.
Give
him what he needs, Lord God. Hallelujah.
He'll deliver him through
each day, Lord God. Clean, sober, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, I lift up your son Terry to you this morning, Lord God. Cover him today, Lord God. Give him peace, Lord God, in his spirit, Lord God. Help him, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah.
Cheerful night.
Give us some acceptance today in our lives,
brother. Good God.
Cover us today, Lord God.
I pray your
oh, hallelujah,
covering over his life, God. I declare and decree healing and deliverance over his life, God.
In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for making a way out of nowhere. Lily of the Valley, Lord God.
We love you, God. We need you, Lord God. We
Lord
need
God,
you, God.
Your
we trust you, God.
Your name,
we will
Jesus.
Keep your commandments, oh God.
Bless
yes,
your Lord. Name,
we will
Jesus.
Stand flat footed.
Hallelujah,
God.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
In the name of
thank
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God, for your hedge of protection.
Thank you for hiding your word,
Lord God.
We may not
thank
God.
You,
we
Lord
won't
God,
quit,
for
Lord God.
In
the name
of Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord
Lord
God.
No matter what we have learned, Lord God. We have fought, Lord God.
To be intentional, Lord God.
Walk
look
up
at
right,
things
Lord
that
God.
We do, Lord God.
And that is the
thank you, Lord
of
God.
This
thank you for the directions
and
the instructions, Lord God.
Thank you for healthy, good choices, Lord God.
Thank you
for your
word, Lord God.
Here, Lord God,
that
we go out
on this training ground, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Victory, Lord God.
Thank you, God. Thank you,
victory,
Lord
God. Lord,
bless every person on this call. God, bless our family, Father. Thank you, God. Give us travel and grace on today, Father. You are for your goodness, God. Allow us to
thank
be a blessing to
loved
ones today, Father.
Oh,
in the name of Jesus, God, we trust
thank
your word.
You, Lord,
thank you so much
Lord,
for allowing
God.
Us to be here this morning
thank
and gathering today, Lord.
Again,
God, give us celebration this rain, Father. Thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're giving
Lord,
to do. God, we praise your holy name on today, God. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being right here in the midst of our troubles, Lord. Thank you for allowing your presence to rest in our house.
houses, God.
Lord God,
yes.
Thank
you
for
thank you for providing. Thank you for not never giving up on us, God. We love you, Heavenly Father. We thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, we love you with a heart, Lord. Thank you so much, God. We trust your word, Lord. Thank you so much, God, for allowing us to gather again today, God. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We praise your holy name.
Thank you, Lord God.
Lord God, rule my Lord God, I surrender to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord God. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Glory, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallowed be thy name, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thy kingdom come, Lord God. Thank you.
Jesus.
Your kingdom come, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Right now, Lord. Hallelujah,
yes,
Jesus.
Yes,
thank
yes.
You, Lord.
So, Lord, Father yes. God, we continue, Lord God, to pray and ask, Lord God, that you instill in us, Lord God, the heart of a servant, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to be willing, Lord God, to be of service, Lord God, to those, Lord God, that are less fortunate than ourselves, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to hear your voice, Lord God, as well as walk in the Spirit, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to walk in the light, Lord God, and to be that salt, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we pray as I pass the call.
Amen.
Amen. Hello, welcome again to Declare Victory. My name is Andrew. I'm your host this morning. I am certain that you've been blessed by the call. Were there any first-time callers that didn't get a chance to say hello? If so, now is your time. If not, did anybody else come to the call late and not get a chance to say good morning? Now is your time.
Good morning, Brother Andrew. It's Miss D. Good to hear your voice today.
God bless you, Miss D. Good to hear you.
Good morning, Miss D.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's Arlisa.
Good morning, beautiful. This is Ruth.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Arlisa. Good morning, family. It's Pam.
Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, it's Sanai J.
Good morning, Sanai J.
Is there anyone else?
Renee, good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning. Hey, Brother Andrew.
Are there any birthdays this morning? I want to turn the clock years forward one. Okay, I hope you can join us for the next segment, which is Love, Life, and Victory, following a discussion of the declaration that we heard this morning. Please, ma'am, please, sir, use your standard mute feature. You know the five reasons why we do this, so please mute your phone as I now pass the call. Have a blessed day. If anyone's speaking, we can't hear you.
Honey, I was just talking. I done had a whole conversation, but y'all don't have the Holy Ghost, so you didn't hear me. Good morning once again, everyone. First and foremost, I want to apologize for the technical difficulties this morning. I know most of you don't know, but I use two separate phones to make sure the call runs properly in the morning, and one of them, the call drops, so forgive that. And I obviously cut the audio a little too soon. I know Pastor Lavelle was mortified. Sorry, bro. Nevertheless, I just want to kind of reiterate the importance of when you join the call in the mornings and you are asked to place your phone on mute. It's also important. Otherwise, everybody panics when I mute the one line that I know the calls are linked on, so that it kind of shuts everyone up. And I prefer not to do that. I prefer we all be kind of responsible with our little mute button. So this morning, the title was The Eyes of Our Heart. And again, this week in and of itself has just been about assurance of salvation. And really, assurance begins in our hearts. It is what our hearts perceive, that our minds adopt, and our mouth replica and parrot whatever fact we have a tendency to believe. And I really, really appreciated the story about Helen Keller and her introduction and the question she was asked, how do you know him? Her statement was, I know him in my heart. And so this morning, I just want to phrase a question and throw it out on the floor. What's in your heart this morning? What are the things that cause you to sway from belief to unbelief? Our favorite little book talks about the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? But this morning, I just want to ask if anybody got anything from the declaration, and that question that I posed, what's in your heart, is a question I think we should all ask ourselves. I think it's our responsibility to do a heart check from time to time. So if anybody have anything to share this morning with regard to the declaration by Pastor Jones?
Dion, this is Diane.
Hey, Diane.
You know, good morning, everyone. I was just listening, and this subject came up last week in Bible studies that, you know, most of us are those, most of us believers, and all of us are supposed to be believers on this call, but sometimes, you know, there's doubt, and you have to know without a shadow of doubt that you are saved. If you have any doubt, the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you, which is the Spirit of God, gives you answers. If you're not sure, you need to ask yourself, because that's what it is. It's talking about being still, knowing that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died and that he rose again on the third day for your sin, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you are being stamped with a seal. And that seal means that the Holy Spirit has ownership of you at that point. There is no not being saved. If you say you're saved and it's from your heart is where the center of your being, the center of your emotion, it is the center of your will, it's your makeup. And if you say that you believe Jesus died and rose again, you believe he died in the flesh, that you shall be saved. And you have to know the role of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that's working on the inside of you, because Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. And he said, I pray my Father will send you another helper, and that helper is the Holy Spirit, who dwells on the inside of you. So he's talking about your salvation. If you receive God as your Savior, you are saved. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. So that Spirit lives on the inside of you. And when that Spirit is not talking to you, it prompts you. But if you're not yielding to it, then you're doing things, then you may think you're not saved. And if you keep doing the same thing that you did before you were saved, then you may want to question yourself, because the Holy Spirit lives on you. In sin, God cannot dwell where sin is. And that's what I got out of this story, that, you know, you're still with the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that's working on the inside of us. And it's the Holy Spirit that comes and lives inside of you. So whatever you that's dominating you, that's what's reigning and ruling in your life. That makes sense.
Let me say that real quick. There's another step to that, Diane, because, yes, we're sealed until the day of salvation, but we still have to grow in sanctification. Because even the word says Jesus increased and grew in stature and favor with God and man. We can't just stop there. We have to continue growing or we'll get sacked.
Right. And that's a daily thing. You know, he said to keep your mind stayed on him. And in order to keep your mind stayed on him, you have to be in the word every day to read and to ponder throughout the day to keep your mind stayed on him. And that's how we grow in his word and let his word get in us and walk it out in our salvation by practicing these things each day. We have to renew our life, renew our mind each day we get up. So thank you for that declaration.
Glad to hear you, bro. Do you want to chime in? That would be great. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Diane, again, I'm glad you said your last part because I told my church this last week. Last Saturday, I woke up early in the morning and I prayed and I went through the day crucifying and mortifying the flesh, and they was messing with me all day long. They was just trying to get me upset for some reason. My son Roy, I mean just everything. And I crucified the flesh. And when I went to bed that night, the flesh was still crucified. But when I woke up that morning, That old flesh had resurrected on me, and it was sitting on the side of the bed waiting on me to get up. Saying, now, you really don't want to go to church today, do you? And I had to renew my choice. So, yes, you have to renew
your
choice.
You need to get him off your bed.
Huh?
You need to get him off your bed.
Hey, it resurrected on me this morning, too. I really didn't want to go to work, but I'm here, you know. So we have to literally crucify and mortify the flesh on a daily basis, because if not, it will take over you. Anyone else?
Yes. Good morning, Pastor LaVelle. You know, in the declaration, after she had the high fever, and as a result of her getting sick, she became deaf and mute. And she was suffering, and then she had to go to a specialist, and they began to help and work on her. So when you shared how that she was able to write back into the minister's hand and said that she knew him, that means that something miraculous had happened. Because after the fever, and she was in that deaf and that mute state, she was in a state of suffering. But God came in, and she was able to know him even in that deaf and that mute state. So that was, you know, for her to be able to have a consciousness of Christ in her heart, you know, that was, man, that's powerful.
Yes, it is, Brother Jeff. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Anyone else? Now, Dion posed a great question. How do we know what we know? I mean, because there are different methods of learning, but as we learned in Anna Keller's case, there's some things you can't learn at school. Sometimes some things you just have to learn in your heart. And sometimes God has to circumcise your heart for you to perceive spiritual understanding. I don't get upset anymore when people tell me, Pastor, I don't see it like that. I had a meeting last night. Somebody said that I can't see it like that. Well, I understand, you know, because you've got to be able to see through the eyes of your heart to obtain spiritual perception. And so even in our churches and stuff, you know, when you don't see how things are going or whatnot, sometimes God's got to give it to you in order for you to perceive what's going on. Does anyone else? First, y'all have cut off my declaration, and now nobody want to talk back. I can ask 10,000 questions, but again, as what Dion said, was there something that caught your attention in the declaration that you may want to ask a question or anything?
Good morning, Brother Lavelle Smithy, Minister, Pastor, Doctor. How you doing?
Well, you
are you dead?
Bishop
anointed, my anointed brother. Good morning to you.
Important to you.
How are you doing this morning? You know, what came out, well, just listening, is just thinking about being in that silent place, because Helen Keller was in a very silent place. She couldn't hear anything. Her thoughts were not her own, because they use that term, deaf, dumb, and mute. So it's being in a quiet place where my thoughts are not my own. I have to be consciously aware to keep putting my thoughts back to Christ, to casting things down, because my imagination runs and my thoughts. And then also in the past few, I guess, years, this past couple of years, noticing how my emotions are and how my emotions impact my thoughts going back and forth. But my relationship with Christ is based on trying Him and allowing Him to manifest in my life, and that built my trust. It continues to build my trust for those things that are really impossible and things that I don't do by my own power or my own thoughts, my own processes. I just trust Him, and it's a process. When I was doing some work on this support group that we started, it was like every day I would wake up and I'm like, well, I don't do that. And I can hear in Him me saying, but this is what I want you to do. So I would take a step, and every day it was a challenge, because every morning I woke up like, I don't do this. But I can hear the voice of my spirit speaking to me, saying, it's not about you. Just follow my directions. And so I'm learning to walk like that in situations that I'm uncomfortable in, and learning to put Him to the test. It's been try Him and see that He will not. You know, so He has opened up some windows and some doors and some places I wouldn't have never been on my own accord, but letting my thought processes not be caught up in what I think about myself and my own capabilities, but trusting what God can do through me and will do in me when I trust Him. Have a blessed day. It's really nice to hear your voice.
Wow, Misty. You know, I'm just concerned, and I love your passion. I love your passion for God and the work. I'm just convinced that many people are satisfied with loving God on a part-time basis. It reminds me of a relationship of, I don't want nothing from you, you don't want nothing from me, I just want to be with you when I want to be with you, and I'm satisfied with that. No, that's not the God we serve. And I'm convinced that many people are satisfied. I told my church last night at Bible study, what really made me want to do right is because I kept hearing Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. And I had to weigh on the fact of how much I really love the Lord. And so Dion said at the onset of this, at some time or another, we've got to stop and take stock, take inventory of our lives. And you've got to take inventory of your progress, of where you are, where you've been, and where you're headed. And if you don't have a vision to where you're headed, and in your relationship with God, you're going to always be stale, stuck, stagnant. Oh, that's pretty good, huh? In the same old cradled and accustomed, doing the same thing you've been doing, and you ain't going to never change it, because you become satisfied with what you're doing. But God requires that we do something different in our heart. And you've got to take stock of what's really in your heart.
Amen. Amen. And that's the place we ask him to examine our heart. So we also need to be there when he examines them, listening to what's being said and what needs to be moved and changing that thought process, surrendering them thoughts back to Christ again. And like you said, talk about the flesh, it's a battle daily between the flesh, because I got stuff that come up on a regular basis, you know. And then there's things that I do and I go right into it and I have to repent for. Learning to repent, coming back to Christ, turning away from and continuing over and over again to move further and further away from responding to the flesh. Living from the heart of Christ and seeking his face in everything is a huge part of my walk. And I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. And none of this happened overnight. I have to say that because sometimes somebody says, oh, that was, you know, how did you do that? It's been years. None of this came about in my life. My relationship with Christ didn't grow to this point in 24 hours. This has been a 20-plus year journey, probably longer than that, but I can go back and reflect 20 years because I'm 60 now. So it's been going on. I was introduced to Christ when I was 5. You know, so it's been an on-again, off-again, lukewarm relationship that he didn't care, that I didn't care. It's been all that. But now we're at a place in my life, and I'm at a relationship with him, that I love him enough to lay down my life for him because he laid down his for me. That's a blessing. That's a place, I love being here.
That's passion, Missy. That's passion. And people, and we need to understand as believers, yes, no, it's not an overnight journey, as this he says. It's a process. And that's why I say, the sanctification decision is a daily decision. In essence, you chose Christ 10, 20, 30, 60 years ago, but the question of the hour is, did you choose him this morning? Because it's a heart matter. Because what's in the heart is going to reach the heart. Yes, go ahead.
Good morning. This is Didi. I thank you for this the declaration and all everything, and I agree. For me, and I'm learning too, as Ms. D said, it's a process and it's a daily process. It's not even a daily. It's a few times a day for me because I know God knows my heart, so I'm trying to be more aware of the things that I do and what I say and how I react and just when my mind is not functioning quite right, I do a examination, and I'm doing it more and more frequently so that I'm not out of order as much, if that makes any sense. I'm trying. I'm making an effort to just please him more and more so the other stuff doesn't even matter as much. And because I'm going through this, it's a pruning process, so there are people around me that are treating, and maybe it's how I'm perceiving it, but it feels like I'm isolated a lot more than I've ever been before. It's painful, but it's necessary. So things that I used to care to do and things that used to be important to me, it's not as much. So I know it's just a season that I'm going through, so I'm very sensitive to certain things. So when people say things, and I'm so bombarded with people sharing their woes, and it's okay because I know God created me to take it, but I'm just learning in the season to search my heart before I respond, search my heart before I even agree to do certain things, you know, and just learning to let God lead me and truly go to him for everything, not get opinions of men, because we're flawed. So I'm learning to totally listen to God. If he's telling me to go or not to go, to do or not to do, to say or not to say, and that's in daily process, daily conversation, dealing with my children, dealing with my husband, my family, you all on Declare Victory. I'm learning to say less, because sometimes when we say what we think, it comes out wrong, and you can't take it back. So I'm just, for me, the process is being, you know, letting God say, don't say that, say it, be quiet, speak, you know, because people, that to me, I'm learning to keep my feelings out of it. So be more in the spiritual than the natural, because the natural have you isolate and stop talking to people. You know what I mean? Because your feelings get hurt. So I'm just learning in this season to let God just be God and just trust the process.
Oh, I know you're right, T.D., because I've been trying to quit Declared Victory, the TNCU Bible study call. I've been trying my best. And the Lord is saying, nope, 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 you can't do it because they need you. They need you. And Lavella, it really ain't about you. It's really about me. And I have to totally understand it. And it's a heart matter. It's a heart matter. So So sometimes I have to recommit myself for that drive. And y'all, as Dee Dee just said, it's a commitment sometimes 2-3 times a day. Not just a daily basis, but sometimes 2 or 3 times, because you can find yourself wandering off. And if you don't get back and remember that, you'll be out there. And so we need to consider the fact that what we do is a heart matter. And we've got to be able to see spiritual perception in our heart. Anyone else? This is great dialogue. Nobody else? What, as Dion said, what's in your heart? Tell me what's in your heart. What's in your heart? What do you feel? Don't make me call your name. I'll call some names. What's in your heart?
Pastor LaVille, you talked about the different ways that we learn, you know, like, and you use our 5 senses. And when you talk about our heart, what's in our heart? And, you know, we have our physical heart, which is fleshly. And you know, sometimes, you know, we might struggle. I do. I let me keep it on me. Sometimes I, like Dee Dee say, you know, we have to 2-3 times say, go back to the Lord and cry out to Him, because I'm trying to walk in the Spirit in my daily affairs. But then sometimes my 5 senses and my fleshly heart get in the way. So, you said there are different ways we learn. There's 3 different ways we learn, and you mentioned the 5 senses. So my question is, how do we our spiritual heart and our earthly, our physical heart, and the ability to walk in the Spirit? So I understand what I'm saying. You're like, it's got to be a difference in our fleshly heart and the heart of the Spirit. There's a difference, right?
Yeah, there's a spiritual and there's a physical.
So when yeah, you said there's a physical and there's a spiritual. So you speaking about the spiritual part.
But here we go back to what we talked about some time ago. When you can't isolate, you got to learn how to insulate. You know, isolation means you don't get away from everything and everybody. And sometimes it's in this society, you just can't get away from everything and everybody. So when you can't isolate, you've got to learn how to insulate. Okay? And in order for you to be in this world, in this workaday society, and not let this world take over you, you've got to be insulated by the Holy Spirit to understand spiritual things, because if not, it'll take over you every time. And I don't want to be controlled by anything but the Holy Spirit. I told my church last night, I said, some of y'all get on my nerves, because some of y'all want to act like you're just so holy now, and you don't, and you're not dealing with nothing, you're not struggling with anything. You know, and the truth of the matter is, we all are struggling with something. You just don't want folks to know that you're struggling with something. That you, because you want to give that information that it's just you and Jesus alone in your life, and that's not true. That's not true, because we're all dealing with something, some way or another. If you're dealing with something at work, You're dealing with something at home, at church, at school. I mean, I don't know where you may be dealing with something at. You may be dealing with something in your flesh. You may be a single woman or a single man, and you want a husband, you want a wife. You're tired of being single. I had someone tell me that yesterday. Pastor, I'm tired of being single. Well, listen, if you're tired of being single and you believe that the Lord is going to send you a husband, you got to get out and mingle. You got to let folks know you're available, too. You got to do your part. But sometimes we don't want to do our part. We're in God to do it all, and we don't want to do our part. All right, anyone else? Anyone else?
The muted ministry this morning. Everybody quiet.
I'm getting ready to close. Y'all, the preacher, after you said that the first time, 15 minutes later, he said, I'm getting ready to close. 30 minutes later, he said, I'm getting ready to close. Okay. All right, nobody got nothing else to say? No one? Well, I hope you were blessed today by part of that declaration. And I think I'll be back on next Saturday on the 11th for the rest of the month doing declaration. So look at the book of Revelation. And I talked about that today in the declaration. If you guys heard what Revelation means, uncovering, apocalypsis, whatever you call it, means the uncovering, because the Jesus from the Gospels is different from the Jesus of the epistles. Okay? So the Jesus of the Gospels is the Jesus of the Gospel of the humiliation, but the Jesus of the epistles and Revelation is the Jesus of glorification. So we want to deal with that for about 3 or 4 weeks. I'm excited about the book of Revelation. I don't want you ever to be afraid of the book of Revelation. And so we'll talk about that. So if there's not another question, not another comment,
I'm not working,
so I'm going to continue working so I can get out of here on Friday. Y'all be careful out there today. This weather is pretty bad today. So let's not forget tonight.
This is Friday
Night Live. It's going to be all the way live. Anything else to call our attention? Dion? Everybody?
Thank you for your word, brother. Love you. Love you for the way you teach.
All right. I love all y'all. I'm excited about what I do. I love what I do for the Lord. I get excited about teaching, about preaching. Y'all, I'm like a horse in the stable that can't wait to break out, break loose. You know, I want everybody to feel like I feel about God's word. And that's why I kind of post things on Facebook and stuff, because when I study and I get revelation and stuff, I want to share it with y'all, because I want everybody to be excited. I know everybody's not going to be excited as I am or what have you, but that's what makes my teaching what it is, because I tell my preachers all the time, if you don't have no passion about it, how are you going to expect others to have passion about what you teach and preach?
Amen, amen. Great job, Pastor. Brother
Eric. Oh, I know. Raider hater. But anyway, what you think? Who was that?
That was Diane. I said great declaration.
All right. Y'all have a wonderful day. Stay safe. I love every last one of you, and I thank you for your input, your comments, and all of that, and your participation. I didn't expect to really do anything. I just was just listening, but praise God. So we'll talk to you all tonight at Friday Night Live. And if not Friday Night Live, tomorrow morning on the call. Love every last one of you. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Pastor LaVelle.
Love you, brother. Have a good day. Be safe.
Friday, family.
Peace and love.
Peace and love, Renee.
Peace and love, Di.
God bless.
Tourette's moment.
Wake up!